we have inflation.
We know that inflation has happened and it will continue to happen in the future. Now you might say, Jaspreet, how do you know that inflation is going to still exist in the future? Well, even if you go to the Federal Reserve Bank, they have a page saying that they aim for 2% inflation. The Federal Reserve Bank wants inflation. The government wants inflation, and the reason why they want inflation is because...
What's up, everybody? I am Jaspreet Singh, and welcome to the Minority Mindset.
I want to do something a little bit different today. Today, I'm going to create a checklist of the 10 steps that I would take today if I was starting over for zero and I wanted to build wealth, or I wanted to become a millionaire in my lifetime, assuming that I had credit card debt, assuming I didn't have any savings, assuming that I have other different types of debt, student loan debt and auto loan debt. What would I do today to start building wealth over my lifetime? So the 10 steps that I'm going to be going over, and I'll go over each one of these in detail in this video, is number one, understanding the wealthy mindset and understanding the money rules. Number two is work to save my first $2,000. Number three is work to pay down my high interest debts, like my credit card debts. Number four is building a financial system, something like my 75-15-10 plan. Number five is managing my non-credit card debts, my lower interest rate consumer debts. Number six is making the decision of should I be paying down my mortgage versus investing my money. Number seven is what do I do to get my cash flow exceeding my expenses for my investments? Number eight is work to double my income. Number nine is build my asset protection systems. And number 10 is how do I leave a legacy on this world? So let's go through each one of these steps one by one in this checklist, starting with number one, understanding the money mindset and rules. On the simple side of the mindset, most of us, myself included, grew up with some sort of negative association with money. And if you grew up hearing things like, we can't have money, rich people are evil, money is bad, we can't afford nice things, what do you think you're going to think about money when you turn 25 or 30 years old? Well, if you grew up with all this negative association with money and you didn't go out of your way to start learning about money, chances are you are going to have a negative association with money, that money's bad, money's evil, rich people are bad, and that you can't become wealthy. And then when you go on to have kids, what do you think you're going to be telling your kids? Well, your kids are going to see you talk about money the same way you heard your parents talk about money. And if you grew up in a broke mindset household, your kids are going to grow up in a broke mindset household. And this is where it is very important for you to change the way that you think about money. And yeah, I know it sounds like a bunch of just fluffy stuff, but it is so important to believe that you can become wealthy, that there's an abundance of wealth in the world, and that you have the ability to achieve it. And if you don't believe that, well, I can guarantee it's going to be impossible for you. But this is where it is so important for you to believe that you can become wealthy, because the reality is there's a lot of money in the world. A central bank is producing trillions and trillions of dollars. All you need to do is get a small little sliver of the pie, that way you can build that wealth for yourself and your family and your future generations. And it is possible, but you have to believe it's possible. Let me show you. I've spent the last number of years talking about financial education and teaching financial education to people all over the world. And in the beginning, I used to think that money management and building wealth was just a numbers game. That if you make $50,000 a year, what do you need to do with your money to become wealthy? But as I began talking with more and more people, I realized that there's more to building wealth than just understanding what you need to do with your money. You have to understand the mindset. And the reason why is because if you don't believe that you can do it, you're not going to do it. You're going to self-sabotage the things that you need to do in order to become wealthy. And the thing that everybody wants is this. We want that outcome. That outcome is financial freedom. We want that cash flow. We want the wealth. We want to be rich. We could put whatever word that you want, but this is what everybody wants. We want the outcome. Now, if we work backwards, in order to get this outcome, you have to take certain actions. This is what you do with your money. This is what every other step that I'm going to talk about in this checklist is going to be going over. How do you save your money? How do you invest your money? How do you put your money to work? What actions you need to take to get that outcome. But in order to take the right actions, you have to have the right thoughts. Because in order for you to do something, you have to think how to do it the right way. And if you don't have the right thoughts to take the right actions, you're not going to have the right outcomes. And this is where what a lot of people do is they just say, change the way you think. And so how do you do that? Well, just start praying and meditating on this idea that I will become wealthy, I'll become wealthy, I'll become wealthy. And if you do that, you're going to be able to manifest wealth. But if you think that, but you have these subconscious thoughts, like these kind of pre-thoughts that in the back of your mind, you have this little voice saying, well, I know I'm just saying this so I can say it because that's what the person on YouTube says. Just say you can become wealthy, that way you can have the action and have the outcome. That's what the people on YouTube say. Well, if you have that little voice in the back of your mind, well, guess what? This whole system becomes broken. And that's where, if you want to become wealthy, it's not just about the way you think, it's about really the way you believe. And it's about changing your subconscious. Now, I'm not going to have the time in this video to do a deep dive into how do you do that. But the simplest thing that you can do, if you feel like this is something that's going on with you, which is okay, that's normal, it can be changed, it can be fixed, but you're going to have to invest in your own personal development and your self-development. Start absorbing that content. Read books, watch YouTube videos, listen to podcasts, take classes, do whatever you got to do, but you have to change the way that you think about you becoming successful and wealthy. Because if you had that little voice in your head, even though you might think that you're trying to change the way you think, unless you get rid of that voice and you truly believe that you can become wealthy and that money is abundant, it is going to be impossible for you. Once you understand this on the mindset side, that's where you want to understand the money rules. That way you understand why it's important for you to become wealthy. Outside of the government and our central bank, there are three main entities or stakeholders that make up our economic system. That is our C, the consumers, the I, the investors, and the B, the businesses. Now, every single person is a consumer. Rich people, middle class people, poor people, everybody's a consumer because everybody's got to eat. Everybody needs clothes, everybody needs a home. So everybody buys things, that means everybody's a consumer. But most people are not investors or business owners. So now, let's understand a little bit how this economic system works. Because the way that our economic system works is that you and I go to Chipotle to buy things. What does that mean? We are consumers. We are going to this business, which is Chipotle, to buy a bowl of Chipotle and get that extra guac. So now, you as a consumer are taking your money and you're giving it to Chipotle, and in exchange you get a Chipotle bowl, but the person that benefits financially is of course the owners of Chipotle. Now, who are the owners of Chipotle? Well, these are the investors in Chipotle. Anybody can be an investor in the Chipotle stock, but the people that make money when you spend money at Chipotle and buy that extra guac is, of course, the Chipotle business and the investors. But what you have to also remember is that in today's economic system, we have this thing called inflation. And inflation isn't something new. Inflation has been around for decades. But inflation hurts consumers. Because now when you want to go out and buy something, it costs you more dollars, right? You want to go to Chipotle, it's going to cost you more money today than it did 5 years ago because extra guac is more expensive, that bowl is more expensive. That is inflation at work. So now, in this economic system, we have inflation. We know that inflation has happened and it will continue to happen in the future. Now you might say, Jaspreet, how do you know that inflation is going to still exist in the future? Well, even if you go to the Federal Reserve Bank, they have a page saying that they aim for 2% inflation. The Federal Reserve Bank wants inflation. The government wants inflation. And the reason why they want inflation is because it helps keep spurring our economic system. So now what does inflation do? Well, inflation means that you might be making a little bit more money from your job because, well, incomes have risen over the last number of decades, although it hasn't risen fast enough with the higher cost of living, but that's besides the point of this video. Inflation means now you make a little bit more money, but now when you want to go buy the Chipotle bowl, or when you want to go shopping, you want to go on the vacation, you want to buy a home, whatever, you want to go spend money, it's going to cost you more money. So now more money is going into the hands of the businesses because you got to spend more money as a consumer. So inflation hurts consumers. But what happens now when businesses make more money? Well, they're making more money because they got to charge more money for their products, but that also benefits the investor because more money is going to the hands of the businesses and the investors are what own the businesses. This is why this financial education is so important. It's because everybody's a consumer. We're all taught from day one how to be a consumer, how to buy things, how to like things, how to shop for things. But this is where the wealth is built. Now, you don't have to go out and start a business. You don't have to go out and start the next Chipotle, but every single person needs to be an investor because that's where the wealth is built. Not just that, our economic system is designed to benefit the investor because guess what? Our economic system is designed to create inflation. So now, if you don't understand this, you're not going to see why it's so important for you to change out of just being a consumer to being an investor. But the investors are the ones that benefit when our economic system happens. And our economic system is going to continue to happen. Inflation is going to continue to happen. Inflation is going to continue to hurt the average person while making certain people like investors richer, which is why you want to be an investor. But that's not all. Remember, our economic system is designed to benefit the financially educated. And as an attorney, who is not your attorney, what I can also tell you is that our tax code is designed to benefit the financially educated. Now, how do I know that? Because guess who gets the biggest tax breaks and the lowest tax rates? It's not the consumers who are just earning money from their job. It's the investors and the business owners. Because guess what? If we just assume now these are people who earn money from your job, if you earned $1 million working as a doctor or as a CEO versus you generated $1 million from your investments, who do you think is going to keep the most money at the end of the day? Now you might think, wait, $1 million as an investment and $1 billion from your job is the same thing. Well, maybe it is to you, but it's not the same in the eyes of the IRS or the tax code, because according to the tax code, you get to pay a lower tax rate on those taxes as an investor than $1 million from a doctor. And maybe you get more tax breaks as an investor versus a doctor. As a doctor, you might have to pay half of that money in taxes, which means you might be left with $500,000. As an investor, you might be paying 20% to 0% of the income in taxes, depending on how you invested your money and what types of investments you have. Meaning, after that whole tax bill, you might be left with $800,000 to $1 million. $800,000 to $1 million is a lot more than $500,000 after taxes if you earn that money just as an employee. Now again, not everybody has to go out to be a business owner, but this is why it is so important for everybody to understand these money rules. That way you can at least become an investor, because investors get to win in this financial system, not only because you have the ability to earn more money, but because you also have the ability to take advantage of the tax code, because the tax code is designed to benefit the financially educated, just like how our economic system is designed to benefit the financially educated. This is why you want to start with understanding the mindset and the money rules. And now we get into the practical side of what do you actually do with your money to build wealth, which is checklist number 2. Now that you understand that you can become wealthy and why it is so important for you to become financially educated, it's time for you to take practical steps with your money to actually become wealthy. And if you don't have any savings, the very first thing you gotta do is save $2,000 to protect you against an emergency and put this money aside in a separate bank account that's there not to buy a home, not to buy a car, not to buy something from Gucci, but to protect you against an emergency. And the reason why you need to have this $2,000 put aside is because life happens. It happens to every single one of us. Maybe you get pulled over by a cop. Maybe something happens to your kid. Maybe something breaks with your car. Life happens. It happens to every single one of us. But if you're not prepared for this with some sort of financial cushion, you're gonna be the one that pays the price, because now either you're gonna have to sell out of your investments, which you didn't want to do at that time because the markets just happened to be crashing when that emergency happens, or maybe that means you're gonna have to go into credit card debt, which is actually what most people end up doing when an expense comes up and you don't have the money for it. Now, not only do you have to pay $2,000 to cover the broken water heater, but then you're gonna have to pay an additional $800 in interest on your credit card to pay it back because you weren't prepared. And that's why you wanna be prepared, because life happens, we know this. And the wealthy are working to be prepared. So the first thing that I'll be doing now in the practical steps is work to save $2,000 as fast as possible and do whatever I need to do to save the $2,000 and put it aside in a separate savings account. And this is not money that I'm gonna use to spend at Gucci. This is money that's there to protect me against an emergency. Once I do that, then the next thing that I'm gonna do is work to pay off high interest debts like credit card debts. And the reason why I'm gonna do this, before I think about investing my money, before I think about putting my money in the stock market or doing any of that other stuff, is because I know that these credit card companies, if I have credit card debt, is costing me 15, 20, 25, 28% a year in interest versus the historical stock market return over the last century is something like 10% a year. So now, if I can work to pay down my credit card debt 1 year faster, I'm gonna get a better return than investing my money in the stock market. Not to mention, I'm gonna get a guaranteed return by paying down my credit card debt versus by investing my money in the stock market. I'm hoping to get a good return. And this is where it is so important for you to get very aggressive here to pay down this credit card debt, because this is what holds so many people back from ever becoming wealthy. Because when you're constantly in credit card debt, you can't think about building your wealth upwards. All you're trying to do is get to zero. And that's why during these two steps of this checklist, you have to be extremely aggressive. That means during this phase, you're gonna have to make financial sacrifices. That means maybe you gotta stop eating at restaurants. Maybe you gotta cancel that vacation. Maybe you gotta live in a smaller apartment. Maybe you're gonna have to sell that BMW. And these are financial sacrifices that are very hard to do. But until you get committed, it is gonna be extremely difficult for you to get to even zero on your wealth scale. I want you to get to a million and beyond. But you can't get to a million and beyond until you at least get to zero. And if you're stuck here, you're just running in circles trying to get to zero. And that's why you have to get extremely aggressive. And what I like to tell people is, until you have this done, until you have your credit card debt paid off, and until you have this $2,000 saved up, you shouldn't even have a Netflix subscription. Now you might say, Jaspreet, what the heck are you talking about? Netflix is $15 a month. What difference is that gonna make of me saving this $2,000 and having this credit card debt paid off? Well, what you have to remember is the real cost of Netflix isn't the $15 a month that you gotta pay. It's the 2 hours of your life that you're investing into Netflix when you could be using that time to learn more about how do you earn more money? How do you pay down your debts? How do you build your financial education? How do you build a business? How do you improve your career? How do you get a different certificate? How can you improve where you are financially? And if you don't have these two things done, you are in what I like to call the financial danger zone. And if you are in that financial danger zone, you should not have the comfort or luxury of sitting there watching Netflix when you are paying 25% a year to the credit card company. Because that 25% a year that you're paying to the credit card company is making them rich at your expense. And I want you to make yourself rich instead of them rich. But in order for you to make yourself rich, you got to make those sacrifices to stop making the credit card company richer. And you got to have this $2,000. That's why I'm so passionate and aggressive by these two things. Because if you don't have this, you're never going to have the opportunity to ever build wealth, which is why you need to get very aggressive about this and work to pay down the credit card debt aggressively, get rid of the Netflix, spend your time and spend your money figuring out how you can get out of the system. That way you can at least get to zero, because once you get to zero, now it's all about how do you build upwards. So now that we got this done, let's move on to number four, which is now building a financial system for your money following something like a 75-15-10 plan. Now, after I work to pay down my credit card debt, this is where I need to give every dollar that I earn from here on out a job. I didn't need to do that before, because before, every time I had an extra dollar, either I'm gonna work to save that $2,000 or I'm gonna use that extra dollar to pay down my credit card debt. Now that I've zeroed out my credit card debts, now that I have a couple grand in the bank, this is where I have a little bit of financial cushion and I can use my money a little bit more strategically. And this is where I want to be proactive, because I know what wealthy people do is they have a plan for their money before they earn their money. But what everybody else does, what the majority of people do, is they make money, they spend their money, and then they wonder where all their money went. No more of that. And this is where I would want to build a financial system, something like a 75-15-10 plan, which says for every dollar that I earn from here on out, 75 cents is the maximum that I can spend, 15 cents is the minimum that I'm investing, and 10 cents is the minimum that I'm saving. Now, the whole point behind this is this savings money is there to protect me against an emergency. This investment money is there to make me wealthy. This spending money is what I use to look rich. This is what I use to eat. This is what I use to pay for my home. This is what I use to pay for my car. This is what I use to pay for everything else, all the things that are not really there to make me wealthy. These investments are there to make me wealthy, and this investment is not money I'm using to buy a down payment for my home that I want to live in. These are true investments, and this 10 is my savings cushion to protect me against an emergency. Now, the first question that I always get when I talk about this is, well, Jaspreet, should this be gross income or should this be net income? Should this be my pre-tax income or post-tax income? And the thing that I like to say here is your investments are what's going to make you wealthy. The more money you invest, the wealthier you're going to become. But you have to just get started. Because if you have no investments right now, just get started. Start with your pre-tax income. Start with your post-tax income. It does not matter, but you got to get started. You want to invest more aggressively here. That way you have more money to invest. And so this is where you don't want to necessarily get caught in the nitty-gritty of things, but just get started. If you can't start with 75, 15, 10, start with wherever you can, and then keep working towards 75, 15, 10 of every dollar that hits your bank account. And then maybe you can be even more aggressive with your investments. Maybe you work to make this 70, 20, 10. You do what's right for you, but remember, the more aggressively you invest, the more wealth you'll be able to potentially build, because now you're putting more money aside into your investments. Now, I'm not going over just yet where I'm going to be investing money. I'm going to be saving that in the coming steps of this checklist. You'll see just why. But the first thing that I want to do is I want to create this funnel, this system where I know my money is being separated. I know that this is the max that I can spend. This is the minimum that I'm investing. This is the minimum that I'm saving. And ideally, you're going to create three different bank accounts, because now you don't want to accidentally spend this money or spend this money. So create three different bank accounts. That way when you get paid, your paycheck goes here, and then you have an automatic pool of this money that goes into a different account and a different account. So you have three different bank accounts, and most banks will do this for you for free. This way now you know which cash is supposed to be there to make you wealthy, to invest for you. You know which cash is supposed to protect you against an emergency, and you know which cash you're supposed to use to buy that extra guac. Now, for those of you who are interested in investing. I want to give you a little bit of a resource because my team at Briefs Media, which is the company that I run, has a free newsletter called Market Briefs, where every day my team is working to break down what's happening in the financial news. It's a super fun to read newsletter. You can read it in less than 5 minutes every morning, and you'll get a daily breakdown of what's happening in the economy, the housing market, the stock market, crypto, and the global economy. It's completely free. So if you'd like to learn more about that and get Market Briefs, I got the link to where you can learn more and join down in the description below, where you can go to briefs.co/market. Now, we've gone through the first four parts of this checklist. I got the mindset and the rules down. I saved my $2,000, I paid off the credit card debt, and I will have three different bank accounts, 75, 15, 10 that I'm following with this financial system. But remember what I said in the beginning part of this video, which is that I'm assuming that I have other loans as well, student loans, auto loans, other things like that, those lower interest rate consumer debts. Let's talk about now how I would manage that debt right now for me personally. The way that I would go about this situation is I would continue following 75, 15, 10. But instead of taking this 15 and putting this money into the stock market, I would take this money and use it to pay down those low interest rate debts, except my mortgage. So I would use this money to more aggressively pay down my student loans, to more aggressively pay down my auto loan, and whatever other lower interest rate debts that I have. Now, you might be wondering, but Jaspreet, you said earlier that the stock market has averaged 10% a year, but some of my lower interest rate debts, like my student loans, are 6 or 7 or 8%, and my car loan is 6 or 7%. Isn't that 10% return from the stock market higher than these lower interest rate debts that I have? Yes, but you got to remember that stock market return is an average. It's not a guaranteed return. And if I'm trying to figure out how do I build the most wealth, I want to go after the guaranteed returns first, before I now start putting my money to grow into the markets and other places like that. And so what I would do in this situation is use this money to pay down my auto loans, to pay down my student loans, and get out of those expenses, because that's also going to give me a little bit more breathing room, because when I stop having that money leaving my account, well, now I have a lot more financial cushion, and I want to make sure that I have the financial breathing room and a little bit more of financial just space to do whatever the heck that I want. Which is why the first thing that I would do is pay those things off. Now, ideally, you're going to be more proactive with these things. That you're not going to go out and finance a car that you can't afford. You're going to go out and buy a car with cash. Even if that means you don't get that BMW, now you're driving a Toyota Corolla a little bit longer, and maybe the Toyota Corolla has some dents on it, but now you don't have to worry about those payments. And maybe that means you don't go into student loan debt. Maybe that means you change the way you go about college, you go to a cheaper college, or maybe that means you work through college. Whatever that might mean, ideally, you're going to change the way that you get these debts so you don't have to do this, because your investments are what's going to make you wealthy. And you want to start investing your money as soon as possible. But if you have a whole bunch of debts and expenses, I would want to get rid of those debts, those consumer debts, the things that are not making me any money as fast as possible, because I know that 5, 6, 7, 8% that I'm paying to them, well, if I pay that off a year early, that's a guaranteed return, versus the 10% of the stock market isn't. This brings me to number 6 in the checklist, which, if you are a homeowner, is should I pay down my mortgage or should I invest my money? Or the alternative, should I buy a home or should I invest my money? So let's dive into that one. Now, if you remember what I said just a minute ago, when it comes time for me to use this money, the first thing I wanted to do myself is I want to pay down my student loans, I want to pay down my car loan. I did not talk about the mortgage. The mortgage is a little bit of a separate question because, well, mortgages can be a little bit tricky. Because while I don't consider my home an asset, I do understand that there can be equity built in that home by paying down that mortgage. And now sometimes some of you might have a much lower mortgage rate on your home. And this is where the question can be a little bit more different. And so now if I was answering this question for myself of should I pay down my mortgage or should I invest, the first thing I'm going to ask is, what is the interest rate on my mortgage? If my mortgage is sub 5%, it's going to be a different answer than if my mortgage is above 5%. Because if it's sub 5%, well, now I have a better likelihood of investing that money in the stock market or something and beating that return. And even if I didn't put that money in the stock market, well, I could put this cash into a high interest savings account and I can generate 4.5% to 5% a year in interest from a high interest savings account and use that money to pay this down if I have a 3.5% mortgage. So that's the first question that I would ask. Second question that I would ask myself is, what is my risk tolerance? Am I somebody who wants to just live financially free and just be comfortable? Or am I somebody that wants to live a little bit bigger? Now, for me, I have a little bit of a higher risk tolerance. I don't have the highest risk tolerance, but I have a little bit of a higher risk tolerance, and I have bigger financial goals. So for me, because I have the higher financial goals, I know that I don't just want to be comfortable. I want to have the ability to build more extreme levels of wealth. I'm going to have to take different types of risks, and I have to do different things with my money, which is why for me, especially if my mortgage is under 5%, I'm going to be more aggressive with my investments as opposed to just paying down my mortgage. Now, if my mortgage is 6, 7, 8%, now it's a little bit of a different question because now maybe I'm going to pay down my mortgage a little bit more aggressively while also investing my money. I want to be investing my money, whether it's in my own business, whether it's in stocks, whether it's in real estate. I want to be investing my money, but this is where now understanding, well, kind of where the mortgage is going to change how I play this game. If I have a 2.5% or 3.5% mortgage, I'm going to continue paying the mortgage and I'm going to be investing my money other places as fast as possible. Now, the other thing that I would like to talk about here is for me, ideally, if this was an ideal world, I'm going to go out and buy a rental property before I go out and buy my own home. That's what I did. I became a real estate investor before I even thought about being a homeowner. But now, if I was in a situation today where home prices are extremely expensive and I'm trying to think about should I buy a home or should I go keep renting and investing my money? Well, the key question that I would want to ask here is what is the more affordable option for me? Because I don't look at buying a home as this ability to build huge generational wealth and build my wealth because I want to build my wealth from rental properties. I want to build my wealth from my stocks and I want to build my wealth from businesses that I build or own. I don't want to build my wealth through paying down my home. I know that's what a lot of people like to talk about, but that's one of the worst ways to build wealth or build generational wealth. And if you don't believe me, ask any wealthy person how they became wealthy and they'll tell you they became wealthy because they invested their money in stocks or they became wealthy because they invested their money in real estate or they became wealthy because they built a business or invested in a business or something along those lines. They don't say that they became wealthy because they paid down their home. So I'm not saying being a homeowner is bad, just understanding how that plays a part in your investment portfolio. And this is where now, if I'm thinking about that home buying question, it's not really, should I buy a home or should I rent a home? It's what's going to give me the ability to continue investing my money into the real things that's going to make me wealthy? Stocks, real estate, my own business, or other businesses. What's going to give me the ability to do that? If I can own a home and I can keep doing that, fine. If I can't, then I'll keep renting. The key is to be able to live wherever you can afford, that way you have the money to buy the assets that will continue paying you, that will continue making you wealthy, instead of just stretching so thin just to own a home. And the funny thing is, well, I used to be a licensed realtor. I still am, but I don't work as a realtor. But when I used to work as a realtor, every sales training talks about how now when you're talking to a buyer, what are you saying? You're telling them that they're buying this big investment, the biggest purchase of their life, the biggest investment of their life. And when you sell this home as an investment, it's much easier to get you to buy a little bit bigger, to buy a little bit nicer because you think it's this nice investment. And then what it ends up being for the majority of people is a big money pit. You're just sucking money into this home and you no longer have money to invest because you just think that you're building wealth by building equity in your home. But if you really want to build wealth, it's not just by building equity in your home, it's by building equity in the stock market, rental properties, and through businesses that you own or invest in. That's where the real equity is that will make you wealthy, is not the home that you live in. Now, sure, is that equity in your home that you live in good? Yeah, but I would rather have the equity in the stocks, rental properties, and the businesses than just the home that I live in. So understanding that question and making sure now that whatever I do is not gonna sacrifice my ability to keep investing my money. Moving on to number 7 in this checklist, which is now getting my cash flow to exceed my expenses. So now let's go back to the 75-15-10 diagram. When I actually start investing my money into assets like stocks or real estate or into my own business to build wealth outside of my 401k, by the way, if your 401k is giving you a match, continue doing that earlier because that's kind of like free money you're getting from the company. But now when I'm thinking about where I want to invest my money, I like to generate cash flow. And by cash flow, that means that I own something and this thing pays me every month or every quarter, every year just for owning it. That's what I like. Now, not everybody likes cash flow because when you generate this type of cash flow, you have to think about taxes. Because every time you get paid, you have to think about taxes. Now, of course, when you make money from your investments, you qualify for certain tax deductions or tax breaks or lower tax rates because that's what the tax code says. However, you still have to think about taxes when you generate cash flow. Versus the alternative is investing your money for appreciation, which is I go out and I buy this investment for $100 and then I have to hope that it goes up in value to $200. Now, neither one of these is right or wrong. You just have to figure out what's right for you. Personally, I like investing for cash flow. That's why the bulk of my investments are cash flow investments. So now, where would I be putting this money? Either I'm going to use this money to go out and buy rental properties that's going to pay me with cash flow, or I'm going to use this money to go out and invest in dividend paying stocks or dividend paying funds that are going to pay me with cash flow, or I'm going to use this money to go out and invest in my own business. So depending on where I am in my career or what I am interested in or what I want to do, that's where I'm going to go out and invest my money. But the goal now is for me to generate this cash flow and then take this cash flow that I'm generating and keep investing it back to get more cash flow. If I invest in dividend paying companies or dividend paying funds, I'm gonna keep investing into it every single week. Every time I get paid, I wanna be as aggressive as possible. I'm gonna try to do more than 15 if possible, and I'm gonna keep investing my money to generate this cash flow. In the beginning, the first couple of years, you get nothing. It's peanuts, it makes no difference. But the goal and the real key to becoming wealthy here is you keep investing your money more and more aggressively as you generate more money. That way you can generate more cash flow with every dollar that you invest. And then when my cash flow makes money, when I get paid with those dividends, I reinvest those dividends so I have more money going out to buy me more cash flow. So every time I make money, I'm buying cash flow. When my cash flow pays me the cash flow, I'm using that to buy more cash flow. And then understanding the decade of sacrifice. It's understanding that building wealth is a long-term gain. And the way the decade of sacrifice works is I'm going to be working over this decade to spend less and earn more. That way I have more money to invest like crazy. Because if I can stick with it for a decade, I'm going to be in a completely different financial situation in 10 years. And in 10 years, I know that if I stick with that, I'm going to have some significant cash flow coming in. And my goal is to stick with it until my cash flow can exceed my expenses. Until my monthly cash flow can exceed my monthly expenses, I'm going to keep reinvesting this money. I'm going to keep being aggressive with this cash flow because this is the goal. When I have enough cash flow coming in from my dividends or from my rental properties, well, now I am financially free, and that's why I want to be aggressive until then. And yeah, it is going to take time. It's not going to happen in a year. It's not going to happen in 2 years. It's not going to happen in 5 years. It could happen in 10 years, depending on how aggressive you are and where your expenses are. But this is where now it is important to stay aggressive here to keep reinvesting the cash flow. And for me, I'd keep doing that until my cash flow can exceed at least my basic expenses. Maybe not my lavish expenses, but at least my basic expenses, because then that's gonna give me the opportunity to be more financially free. This brings me to the eighth part of this checklist, which will help me get to the cash flow exceeding my income part, which is how do I double my income? And how do I double my income as many times as possible? That way I can keep earning more money. Now, that might sound a little bit unrealistic, but this is where I want you to start being a little bit unrealistic. Because if you really want to become wealthy, remember what we talked about here, you have to believe that it's possible for you. And the people that can actually become wealthy, well, guess what? They believed it's possible for them. And this is where now I want you to think. If you're making, let's just say $50,000 a year, what would it take for you to earn $500,000 a year? To add another zero to that. Now, as soon as you hear me say that, you might say, Jaspreet, what in the world are you talking about? How in the world do you expect me to go from $50,000 to $500,000? But if I said you had to figure out how to do that, what would you do? Maybe you'd start watching some YouTube videos on how to earn more money. Maybe you'd start reading some books on how to earn more money. Maybe you listen to some podcasts. Maybe you take some classes. Maybe you start trying things. And now you start experimenting on how to increase your income. And guess what? There are ways for you to turn your annual income into your monthly income. People have done that. And then there are ways to turn your annual income into your weekly income. People have done that. And there are ways to turn your annual income into your daily income. People have done that. Now, of course, is that very likely? No, but people have done that. And this is where you don't have to kill yourself and drive for the rest of your life trying to just increase your income. But if you really want to get to that wealth sooner rather than later, if you want to increase your cash flow, you got to put some effort into here. How do you increase and double your income faster? And there's a lot of education out there on how to do that. Now, there's going to be a lot of mistakes made by you. Every single person goes through that. I went through that multiple times. There's going to be a learning curve. There's going to be that hurdle. There's going to be that time involved. There's going to be that stress involved. There's going to be that risk involved. That's all part of the game. You can't avoid that. There's no like, oh, you just do this, this, and this to double your income. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? That's a bunch of other people on the internet that are selling crap on how to just make $10,000 a month doing nothing. That doesn't work. What I'm talking about now is how do you actually work to increase your income? How do you increase your skill set? How do you sharpen your skill set? How do you increase the value that you can provide somebody else, your business or whatever, to earn more money? And this is where you want to be starting to invest into that as well. Maybe that means you get a career change. Maybe that means you work to get a certificate. Maybe that means you work to get a job change. Maybe that means you start a side hustle. Maybe that means you start a business. You got to figure out what's right for you. And one of the funny questions that I get asked is, Jaspreet, what business should I start? I don't know.
I don't like this idea of just going out and doing X, Y, and Z, going out and doing Amazon fulfillment or doing e-commerce or doing whatever people talk about on the internet, because that's not a real business to me. And there's a lot of failures involved with that. And you're just kind of just following somebody else's system. That to me is not entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is innovating, creating something, building something that you are passionate about, where you believe that you can actually impact the world. And you got to figure out where that value is for you. Maybe you don't start a business. Maybe you don't start a side hustle. Not everybody should be an entrepreneur. Maybe you're going to work in your job. Maybe you're going to work in your company. Maybe you're going to ask your boss. Maybe you work to get a different job or a certificate or something. But you got to work now to increase your income, to increase the value that you can provide as a person. That way you can earn more money. And now as you earn more money, you continue following that financial system. If you keep investing your money more aggressively, well, guess what? Now you have more money going to buy you more cash flow. You have more money buying you more investments. Now we can get to that wealth number even sooner. This brings us to point 9 of the checklist, which is asset protection. As you start building your wealth, you need to start thinking about how do you protect your wealth. That means now talking to the right people, talking to the right advisors. That means on the legal side, how do you have lawyers there to protect you? Because when people realize you have money, they're going to try to take their hands, put it in your pocket, and take some of the money for themselves. I told you earlier in this video that I started investing in real estate earlier on. And when I started investing in real estate, I had no idea what I was doing. And as I started getting involved with real estate, I had a not so good tenant in my first property, and the not so good tenant ended up suing me. Well, actually, she sued my real estate company. And the reason why she sued my real estate company was because she claimed that the bathtub was too slippery when the water was on. True story. And she wanted to go after the quote unquote rich landlord for some money by getting one of those free attorneys. I had no idea what was going on. I was a young kid. I think I was 20 years old or 21 years old at the time when the lawsuit came in, and I didn't really know how to handle it, but I had insurance. Insurance worked to settle the claim, and the other party didn't actually win anything because we found out that they didn't actually slip and fall in the bathtub. They slipped and fell at a friend's barbecue. But all this to say, you want to make sure you have the right advisors, because guess what? In this world, people will try to come after you when they realize you have money. So you want to make sure you have the right legal protection there. You want to start thinking about estate planning. Even though you might be young, you want to start thinking about what happens if you were to pass away. How do you get the right estate planning in place? Talk to an estate planning attorney. You want to make sure you have the right financial guidance. Get a good tax advisor. Guess what? The IRS tax code is a tax code. It is a rule book. And you want to make sure you have a good advisor that can guide you on how to use the rule book to pay the least amount of money in taxes legally. So you want to start investing in this asset protection as you start to build that wealth. And of course, you want to think about now, how do you leave that legacy as well? How do you give back? How do you help other people? Because at the end of the day, as you work to build that wealth, you're going to have the ability to help other people, not just through more money, but also through your time. And this is very important now. As you build your wealth, as you start to fill your cup with water, how can you help fill other people's cups? Because if you have an empty cup of water, you can't give anybody else water. But as you start to fill the cup of water with water, and by water I mean that wealth here, now you have the ability to fill other people's cups of water. And the nice thing here is as you start to build that wealth, you can help to fill other people's cups of waters without really draining your cup as well. And again, it's not just necessarily through money, but also through your time and through your education. And how can you help other people? Because you want to leave a legacy and not just keep everything for yourself, because you can't take all this money with you, but understanding how you can help others and how you can leave a legacy in the world. There it is, the 10-step checklist that I would go through if I was starting over today to build that wealth.